When Bill Russell was in junior high, he was cut from his basketball team. He got better after that. He led the University of San Francisco to 2 championships. In 13 seasons with the Boston Celtics, he won 11 championships. A record unmatched in any sport. Won 2 while also serving as the team's coach. And so happens, he also was the first African American ever to hold such a position as a coach in a major league sports team of any sort. More than any athlete of his era, Bill Russell came to define the word winner. And yet, whenever someone looks up at all 6'9 of Bill Russell and asks, "Are you a basketball player?" he says, "No." He says, "That's what I do, that's not what I am. I'm not a basketball player, I am a man who plays basketball." Bill Russell, the man, is someone who stood up for the rights and dignity of all men. He marched with King. He stood by Ali. When a restaurant refused to serve the Black Celtics, he refused to play in the scheduled game. He endured insults and vandalism, but he kept on focusing on making the teammates who he loved better players and made possible the success of so many who would follow.
Eloquent words of President Barack Obama perfectly framed the accomplishments on and off the court for Celtics legend Bill Russell. Hello, everyone. This is Comcast Sportsnet's Kyle Draper, and welcome to episode 2 of Into the Archives, as we dive into our deep library of Celtics content for the most memorable interviews on our network. While awarding Russell with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2010, the president concluded his speech by urging the city of Boston to immortalize the man with 11 championship rings with a statue. On November 1, 2013, in City Hall Plaza, that statue was unveiled. Comcast Sportsnet documented Russell's career and the design of the statue with a documentary special. In this podcast, you will hear excerpts from this special narrated by Russell's teammate, Tom Satch Sanders.
After a successful college career and then winning a gold medal at the 1956 Olympics, Bill Russell had his sights set on the next level of basketball he could dominate.
I was all about competition. I understood that the best players were playing the NBA. I wanted them.
Craftsmanship is a way into what's best in yourself. The real mastery is always of yourself. That philosophy guided Russell to an unending desire for victory.
Did it hurt if you lost?
It depends. If, some nights you get beat, and the other nights you lose. Mm-hmm. If we lost, it hurt. I expected to win every night, though.
Former teammate Sam Jones.
Well, first of all, I think a great player does not want to lose. You're in a game because you want to win and you want to be one of the best in the game. And I still say today that then and now, Bill Russell is probably the best defensive player to ever play in the NBA.
Tommy Heinsohn.
This guy was like a computer on defense. He had every single player's moves down.
Hall of Famer Bob Cousy.
It was that evident that he was, as I say, the last piece of the puzzle, and everything was in place now.
But he had such great intensity that when the whistle blew and he came to play, and that intensity complemented the skills he had, he became, I think, the most productive center that's ever played the game.
To me, every play led to the next play. So that if I dunk the ball, the next play was, for me, would be the first one back on defense. That was, if I dunk the ball, that's only half a play.
He was so talented in blocking shots. Not only did he block shots, not to be a showman, but to make sure the ball stayed in bounds where a guard or forward could get the ball and it became a possession for us rather than giving the ball back to the team you blocked the shot.
Boston Globe columnist Bob Ryan.
He knew how to calibrate what he needed to, what he had brought to the table, which aspects of his game would help the team win.
The dynasty of the Boston Celtics began with what would become a lifelong friendship between two men who would soon be at the top of their field.
Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy.
That was a magical partnership with Red Auerbach and Bill Russell, because I think Bill would tell you, you know, Red treated him like a man, like a grown-up, like a smart person. That meant a lot to Russell.
Red became Russell's ally instead of his adversary, which a lot of coaches can do.
We approached each other as a couple of men that are going to work together. And that's the way I felt my whole career. Red and I were co-workers.
Former teammate John Havlicek.
He knew when he had to push Russell, when he had to lay off of Russell. And I think Russ respected that a great deal.
Red says, listen, tomorrow morning when we start practice, I'm going to be all over you.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to it. See, if I can't yell at you, I can't yell at anybody. So the next day, it's like I gave him an unlimited budget, and he went over it.
I gave him.
And so a few years ago, he says to me, you know, I really appreciate that you didn't get mad and you understood. I said, Red, I came this close to attacking you.
Red Auerbach recognized the innate intelligence, pride, and manliness, if you will, of Bill Russell, and knew right away from day one that he was not going to be interacting with Bill Russell the same way he did with anyone else on the team.
He'd say to me, can I miss practice tomorrow? I'd look at him, I'd say, what for? He says, I'm tired. Good reason. The guy's playing 46 minutes a game. I mean, he's not lying to me. He's a little tired once a day off, so what? What's the big deal? Well, these other coaches would go bananas.
And he truly understood how great Russell was. He gave Russell a basketball identity in not only Boston, but in the entire country.
I completely trusted Red Auerbach that he would not do anything at my expense to make himself look better. And I had that trust, and it was a bond.
The bond between Red Auerbach and Russell set the tone for the Celtics to become a true team. The most important measure of how good a game I played was how much better I made my teammates play.
All of us have egos. And my ego was team ego.
We were his family. And he was like protecting us, like a big brother would do at times.
You could just look into each other's eyes and get the feeling that, you know, you're with me, I'm with you, we could get it done, let's do it now. And, you know, that was a remarkable sensation to have.
The greatest thing about basketball is there's only one ball, and only one person can shoot that ball. So now you gotta have a team that says, hey, we don't care who gets the points, as long as we get the win. I thought the greatest words I've ever heard in the Boston Garden or away. Ladies and gentlemen, the world champion Boston Celtics. The world champions. That meant that we were the best basketball team in the world.
Imagination and creative thinking are the realization that there's no particular virtue in doing things the way they've always been done. It is this philosophy that Bill Russell carried with him when taking the court and perfecting his craft.
When I was a young guy developing the way I played, I didn't know that at the time, but I was innovating.
Celtics legend Larry Bird.
Bill did it in a variety of ways as far as blocking shots, keeping them in bounds, running the floor. We just try to make everybody around us better, and sometimes you got to be creative about it.
Bill Russell is an innovator and one of the handful of great innovators in the history of basketball. He made the block shot not only a weapon, but an art.
It's a beautiful game to watch when it's played well, because it takes great athletic skill. There is an art to it. You know, is that we took it beyond
journeyman status and made it an art form.
Celtics broadcaster Mike Gorman.
It was a very different game that they played then. It was a lot of games. No game didn't change all that.
Believe me, before this, there was nobody. Nobody.
Russell would need every skill in his arsenal in what would be the greatest individual challenge of his career, battling the 7'1", 270-pound titan that was Wilt Chamberlain. A player so dominant, he once averaged over 50 points a game for an entire season. Never go out there to see what happens. Go out there and make something happen.
It was like a heavyweight prize fight. The rest of the players became very peripheral to what was going on in the game. And, you know, it was because they delivered with such remarkable performances.
It is the single greatest individual matchup within a team concept that America sport has ever had.
Russell and Chamberlain changed the landscape of the NBA. Russell respected Wilt for his size and his skill in what was a modern-day battle of David versus Goliath.
He knew he couldn't, you know, out physical me, and he never tried. He would trust Jill Ball, he would use his quickness, he would use his agility, he would use the things he had going for him to play wonderfully strong defense.
And he never played Wilt the same way twice. He always had Wilt thinking because, you know, during the course of the game, Russell would pick his spots.
And Russ was a master psychologist. He was a very, very intelligent defensive player. He would play Chamberlain for three quarters and hold him to maybe 12 points. Boston would have a 20 to 25 point lead at that point. Russell would slack off, ease off him, and the guy would wind up with 30 points. And Chamberlain actually really thought he had a great game. He was psyched right out of his shoes.
See, I never considered him a rival. I considered him a competitor. If either one of us was going to change the way we played to play like the other guy, he would have to be the one to make a change. The numbers, he's going to go up. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do anything like that. If I was to demand the ball every play down, I still couldn't do that. How am I going to counter this? Make sure that we win the game.
In the moments before Game 7 of the 1969 NBA Finals against the Lakers, in Bill Russell's final year as player and coach, word got out to Boston's locker room that their rivals were all ready to drop balloons from the ceiling when, not if, they were able to beat an older Celtics team.
I did something that night that I'd never done before. I expressed my feelings to my team. I said, you guys do realize that it's not humanly possible for the Lakers to win tonight. I see, I always felt that way, but I said, tonight, I said, that team cannot beat us. I don't care who they got, doesn't make any difference. That team cannot beat us. And so, it's gonna be interesting to see, have to take those balloons out of the ceiling one at a time. And that champagne will be at least a year older when they get a chance to open it.
He's an icon in the manner of no one else, because winning 11 championships in 13 years is just remarkable.
Plus an Olympic gold medal, plus two NCAA titles. And anybody that played with him or against him will tell you he was the main reason that all happened.
There were 21 times that Bill Russell played a someone's going home tonight game. His record is 21-0. The prosecution rests.
The bar was set very high when we got there, and all we could do is just do our best to win championships and continue to honor Bill Russell, because he is the man.
Because of Russell's success on the court, he was able to have a significant impact on society.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown.
He lived a life that dealt with social change. I mean, we came up during a very difficult time in the 50s and 60s. America was quite different. Every day of your life, you had to deal with being black and wondering why that was a negative.
Rebounding is about developing the highest level of resilience by changing the flow of the game from reaction to action. from reaction to action. Bill Russell was not a man who would stand to be disrespected in any scenario. He was unafraid to take a stand by himself or to rally the people around him for a just cause.
Was married in Indiana and gave us the key to the city. And then after the ball game, we all tried to go into a restaurant that wouldn't serve the black guys.
All of a sudden, the empty tables became reserved tables. But Bill Russell is different. He got a taxi and took us to the mayor's house.
Picked up the keys at 2 o'clock in the morning, found out where the mayor lived, and woke him up and gave him the keys back.
Wanted to return the keys that did not open any doors. And this is the kind of fella he is.
This strength of character helped Russell as he broke new ground in the world of sports.
What did it mean to you to be the first black management person in sports?
Well, it meant very little.
In that,
yes, it was not part of the equation for me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if Red had said that we're going to do this for that reason,
you wouldn't have done it.
No, I wouldn't have done it.
He was a significant personality in a sports world in a city that was having racial problems. And he stood his ground.
And I was asked about being the first black coach. I said it will only be important to me when coaches are hired and fired and race is not one of the ways they describe them. You know, so that then it'll mean something. Until then, I'm doing this because at this point, I'm the best person for the job.
Bill was always conscious of the underdog and always very conscious of what it meant to contribute to team in a team sport.
For all that Bill Russell accomplished, the road to a lifetime of triumph almost never came to pass. It wasn't until Bill understood the importance of a mentor that he was able to continue on the path to achieve his dreams.
My junior year in high school, I got cut from the junior varsity. And so I looked and the varsity coach was sitting next to me smiling. This afternoon, you can come out for the varsity. I says, I just got cut from junior varsity. We get in his car, we drive to the boys club. And he takes $2 out of his pocket and bought me a year's membership. And says, I want you playing basketball every night. To me, that was mentoring at its best. And I realized how it changed my whole life. Because if he hadn't done that, I would have stopped playing basketball. I wasn't going to play organized basketball anymore. I couldn't make a team.
There is no such thing as other people's children. They are the next generation of Americans.
There's so many kids from all different backgrounds, not just poor kids or these kids or black or white or what. Kids, period, that they're flashpoints in their life. With the right input, they could be a great, great boon to our society.
Russell's willingness to share all the lessons and experiences he has encountered over the course of his amazing life have led to his heavy involvement with the Mass Mentoring Program.
The mentors, in a lot of cases, get more out of it than the mentees. And the more good people we can find and promote, it makes us a better place for everybody.
Celtics great JoJo White.
He's finding how impactful he is, not only just as an athlete playing, but all that he achieved and how he carried himself and all the different eras that he went through.
At no point did Bill Russell ever define himself as a basketball player. He defined himself as a citizen of the United States with full rights and privileges, who, oh, by the way, earned a living for a period of time playing basketball.
Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick.
Bill Russell came to Boston in 1956, and from that time forward through his career, he has stood up for civil and human rights and social justice. And every time he did that, it made America better.
Philosophically, all I've ever done was to try to never shame my father. The most important thing to me are the friends that I've made. The biggest honor I got playing for the Celtics is they made me the captain. And so I've always thanked my teammates for letting me help them be champions.
Thanks for listening to Comcast SportsNet's Into the Archives. Check out csnne.com/podcast for upcoming episodes, plus info on how to subscribe on iTunes. This is Kyle Draper, and thanks for listening.